What is the 21st? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It is January 20. I hope I didn't do that right. I did that right. Okay. January 21st, 2018. I was somewhat joking with Marvin about preaching through from Genesis to Revelation, but I would like to look at this verse to just get in your mind, to plant in your mind that God made us out of dust. Genesis 2 and 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it's the breath of God that separates us from the dust on the ground. That's an humbling thought. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So,
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, is the title of this Animated Dirt?
It may be. I haven't come up with the title yet, but
okay.
Animated Dirt.
That's a good one. You always come up with some numbers.
Okay. But it's more, my point is to show what he animated that dirt for. And for that, we're going to look at Exodus, the 19th chapter. Exodus 19 and 6 says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And you could take that on to Revelation 5 and 10. It says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." That's Revelation 5 and 6. So we went from Genesis to Revelation.
5, 10 or
Revelation.
5 and 10, I'm sorry. Yeah, 19 and 6 on the Exodus.
Revelation 5 and 10.
Okay. Exodus 19 and 6. So, now we have our purpose, why God made, took dust and breathed his life into us. We're to be kings and priests. So we're going to look and see what does that look like. And when we wonder that question, when we come to that question, we wonder who was a king and a priest. Well, that was the Messiah. So that's Jesus. So how do we come out? We ought to look at what Jesus did. The same way he did, we'll do that also. So look at for that, we'll look at Luke chapter 4. Jesus had a forerunner as well, and that was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was, I've often thought about this, that he had right. He was the son of a priest, so he had a right to take part in the temple. He could have done that, but he didn't. He went out into the desert, and the Bible says that he preached into the wind, and the people came. You know, that's pretty deep, you know. He just went out there and preached. And people were drawn by the Spirit of God to him. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it the way that they had always done it. But he did what God told him to do, and he was led by God. Not that he was breaking the rules, but he was out there to fulfill this thing. He had just baptized Jesus. He said that there's one cometh after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. I baptize with water, but he will baptize with fire. So, the wilderness is where we find Jesus, in the same place in the wilderness. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were dead, he afterward hungered. So this is after 40 days of fasting, and he's hungry. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone, that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. To whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now we see something, a principle in this verse 6 that I think a lot of people discredit and discard. You know, we got a lot of tough-talking Christians that aren't walking that same walk. They say, oh, the devil doesn't have any power. That's not true. All this power was delivered. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. So this should give us not fear of the devil. We're not fearful of the devil, but it should give us fear of God, that we need God to overcome the devil. The only way we're going to overcome the devil is going through these temptations the same way. The same way Jesus is being tempted here and tried. Each one of us will be tempted and tried. Temptations and trials, or things don't work out the way we thought they would. All kind of things that happen. Hardships in this life. The devil sends them to try us, to tempt us, but God allows it in order to show us who we are in Christ, if we'll just allow Him to do that. Amen? Oh, you're just dust, but you're also the Spirit of God breathed into you. Each one of us has that same breath of God. And, verse 8 says, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God. You notice this question that's repeating? He's going to question your faith too, your position in Christ. We're royalty. You know, it's time that Christians carried themselves like that. Act like you believe who you are.
Amen.
We're royalty. The devil is constantly telling me, oh, you think God's going to do this, or you think God's going to do that? Yes, I believe everything that God said. Yes, I do. And I'm not going to listen to this Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's a powerful statement. I hear a lot of people. I used to go to a church and I heard a lady. She always said that, but she was never actually walking in it, living in it. She seemed to have the verse memorized, but it seemed to be that the devil was all around her, you know. Well, that's because she's not really speaking it in power. She's not being led of the Spirit. She's being led of the flesh, going back to her mire, you see. This is why it's important that we get the dignity of a Christian, is that we've been picked up from that dirt, that we were formed by dust, but now we're the vessel of the Spirit of God. The breath of God dwells in me. The breath of God dwells in each one of you. Even the sinner on the street. The breath of God dwells in them, but Satan's got them twisted up, got them confused, got them misled, deceived, to think that they're something less than, made in the likeness and image of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, I see that there's something in memorizing Scripture, but then there's something in actually living Scripture, and this is a living Word. Because here's how we're going to see this. Now listen to the next temptation. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence, for it is written. Uh-oh, now the devil's quoting Scripture. You see, when he can't get you in the natural things, what's he going to do? He's going to get you with religion. That's his last stronghold. And a lot of people don't get past that one. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they think, because I went to church, I heard it all day yesterday. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Well, what good is it doing you? You believe you can kill babies? You believe you can do everything that God hates? And you're still serving God? You're better off to sleep in on Sunday. I would rather that you got right with God and started living right, you know, and believed in righteousness and holiness. Mm-hmm. But you're wasting your time with religion. True, pure religion is this, that you look after the fatherless and the orphans and the widows and keep yourself unspotted from the world. See, the devil started quoting Scripture. For it is written, verse 10, He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Even though this word was true, even this was right out of Scripture, he was trying to deceive Jesus, if it was possible, with the Scripture, by using it out of context, out of time, out of the step with God. God said in John 15, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you ask and you receive. A lot of people say, well, I asked, but I didn't get what I asked for. Well, were you abiding in God? Are you abiding in His Word? Are you seeing His Word come to life in your life? These are questions that are important for every Christian to ask. How do I know that I know God? God hath a way, that's Psalm 8, God hath a way to set apart them that are godly for Himself. If He's not showing you how He's setting you apart, you need to cling to Him even the more. Reach out to God and make sure that you are, in fact, a living epistle read of all men. Because you only got one time to get this right.
Right.
It's a very grave thing. A lot of people trapped off with religion right now. They're out in the church right now on Sunday. They're somewhere. They're singing praise songs. They're doing all the things outwardly, but inwardly, they're just whitewashed tombs. They don't have the Spirit of God. And they can go and that's why they can go all week long and do all kind of wickedness. Hateful of people of God. When someone reminds them of the Scripture, they throw things at you. You know? All kind of things that we see every day. But look at verse 12. And Jesus answering him said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We know that by James, that God doesn't tempt anyone and He's not tempted. But the context is that we shouldn't test God. We should take heed to what God said already clearly and carry that out. Don't stray from it. Because Jesus said we shouldn't fear those that can harm our body and then do anything else, can do nothing else. But who we should fear is Him that when He's done with our body has charge over our soul. You know, just saying you're a Christian doesn't mean anything. Right. You saying you're a Christian and you go back into your sin knowingly, you're trying to see. You see, does God have mercy one more time? I said the prayer so many times when I was in the world. God, please get me out of this mess. If you do, I'll change. I knew I wasn't going to change. I knew I didn't mean it. I was lying to God. I was tempting God. Do you understand that at any time, if I would have died in that time, I'd be in hellfire right now, awaiting for me.
And deserve it.
And deserve every bit of it. Mm-hmm. I used to say, well, God had mercy on me and helped me anyway. And I believe more and more the prince of the power of the air was the one helping me out of those situations. Because it was him I was benefiting, I'd go right back to him. That's a real fearful thing when you realize all your bogus religion, you were serving Satan, unbeknownst. I used to think that, and more I realized, no, God does not hear the prayers of sinners. That's a deep truth. I turned my ear away from the commandment. My prayer was an abomination to him, according to his word.
The praise of the wicked is an abomination.
That's right, even my praise. But one day, it came real.
Mm-hmm.
One day I realized, I can't even make that prayer anymore because so many times I've just lied. So many times. That's when I started to turn. When I started to become honest. God is real. And that's what... That's the place, that's the turning point for any sincere believer, any saint of God, is when you realize, as you said, I rightfully deserved hell. And I don't want to keep doing what it is that made me deserve hell. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't... they say, you don't sin anymore. Why would I sin? Sin is hateful to God. Why would I do that? If I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. If. Not when. I want to live in the hard attitude that I can go now till the rest of my life without ever sinning. I want to live with that hard attitude. You know? When you set the standard any lower, there is no standard. Be sure of that. If you say, when I sin, you will sin.
That's right.
But if you say, if I sin, I don't have to. God, help me. The same prayer that you can say to forgive me, you can say to have power to overcome the temptation and you don't have to be forgiven.
I can do all things.
I can do all things. Amen. Through Christ which strengthens me. Verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed him for a season. Remember, these things are seasons.
Right.
The temptation that you're facing, it'll pass. Matthew 4 and 11, when it talks about the same time period, it says that behold, the angels ministered unto him. The angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. One sinner makes all of heaven sing. How lovely is holiness? How beautiful is holiness? When we know we're not adding to that debt that we started. How do we get rid of that debt? Well, the blood of Jesus. That's how. So we have to... I see that Christians don't really take into consideration this blood. This blood of Jesus that was given for us on Calvary. Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day to make an atonement for our soul, a final sacrificial lamb. But what did he do that for? Well, look down at the 18th verse. Skip down to the 18th verse. We used to have an ongoing debate with my first pastor. He loved John 3:16, and I wasn't probably learned enough at the time to say why I didn't agree, but I just couldn't get... He thought that was the only important verse in the whole Bible. You know, somebody could get saved just by knowing God so loved the world. Well, it's a great verse, you know, everything like that. But I believe, when I was looking at this, and it came to me, this tells everything that he came for. That's much more important. So then I can realize, if my trust is lacking, this verse will tell me where I'm lacking. See, when I believe in the only begotten Son of God, that means I trust in Him, I'm committed to Him. This verse will tell me the level of my trust. This verse will tell me the level of my commitment, my walk with Him. Am I keeping this verse? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That ties in with Leviticus 25 and 10 that tells us about the year of Jubilee. That was the acceptable year of the Lord, when all the things that people had gotten debt, all debt was cleansed. All things were given back to the people. If you lost land, it was given back to you. On that year, you were free. You were set free. All the servants were put back in their homes, and everything was restored just like it was from the beginning. That's what Jesus did. Right now, it's 2018 AD. That means Anno Domini. That means the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
2018 years of Jesus Christ doing what this verse says that he did. He's been preaching the gospel of the poor through the power of the Holy Ghost, just like the power of the Holy Spirit took him out from that wilderness and he began to preach these things. You see, the same power of the Holy Ghost that he walked in, you walk in if you would just allow it to be so, Christian. Poor. There's a lot of poor-minded Christians right now. Sadly, I think it's more like air quote Christians. Many of them might find out that they're not Christian at all when they face God.
What was that word you used for air quote?
Air quote, scare quote.
Oh.
What does that mean?
You know, you've done the sarcastic air quote.
Quote
unquote. There you go. Goats. They'll find out that, depart from me, I never knew you.
That's right.
That's a fearful thing. But if you take heed to this verse, you can find out. We have to search ourselves when our heart reveals itself to be broken. Give that thing to Jesus and let Him heal it. Oh, some things take a long time. But you know what? More often than not, I think we get in the way of that time. I really believe. I working with guys that are recovering, things like that a lot in my ministry so far, I see this mentality. Well, took me 20 years to mess myself up, so it's going to take me 20 years to get right. That's a lie from the devil.
That's right.
Jesus said that... you know, by your word, John 15:3, now you're cleansed through the word that I've spoken unto you. If you could just receive that, if somebody could just get a hold of this, now you're cleansed and sanctified by the washing of the word, Ephesians 4:26, by the washing of the word and by the washing with water and by the word. Let me get it right. Ephesians 4:26. I'm getting ahead of myself, but the power of the Spirit preach deliverance to the captives, the power of the Spirit. Oh, you know, we see all these deliverance ministries, and sometimes it works that way. You know, there's a lot of laying on of hands and rebuking devils, and they're foaming at the mouth and things like that. And that may well be, that is definitely a way that it happens sometimes, but I believe that the light, the Word of God entering into a man's heart can do more for deliverance than any of that. See, I can look back at my pictures when I was young and I know that I had a lot of demons. Full of them. And I never had no instance where somebody got sweaty and spent hours over me laboring and praying and casting out devils. But I remember through hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing. And as I attached that thing onto my spirit and realized, that thing come out of me because it can't rest there. It can't stay any longer. Deliverance, light comes into the darkness. I don't want to do that anymore. You see, I don't want the darkness. I hate the darkness. Light, the good verse in John 3:21, them that come to the light so that they can, their life is manifested in God. You see? I've seen it many times that different attitudes, different spirits that had attached themselves to me in my growth, as I heard the Word and believed that Word to be true, that thing flees. The level of our growth is directly correspondent to the level of our submission to God. The blood of Jesus did all the work. It's finished. The blood of Jesus is what washes us and cleanses us to be made whole and good for the Master's use. We're fit for the Master's use because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of the works I've done, but because of the work He did. My only work is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I hear a lot of people saying, I'm washed in the blood. Oh, I'm set free, but I sin every day. Well, you're confused and you probably don't even know God. I don't know that you've ever known God if you believe you sin every day, but you're washed by the blood at the same time. That doesn't make sense. If you're washed by the blood, you have power with the Holy Spirit, and you can overcome sin. You're more than a conqueror. Though you be sheep to the slaughter, you're more than a conqueror. Amen?
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus. That starts in Leviticus 17:11. Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. Mm-hmm. See, the atonement, the blood of Jesus, the atonement, think about that, at one. We're at one with God. Now, though I was once far, Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now I'm near God, and if I draw near to Him in that time of temptation, if I can just draw near to God, He'll draw near to me. My hands will be cleansed. I was a sinner, but He cleansed my hands. He purified my heart when I was double-minded. I remember being at my first church, and I was very double-minded. And the two deacons of the church said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I searched it out in the Scripture, found that Scripture. And I said, God, please don't let me be double-minded anymore. And it was in that moment that I was delivered from being double-minded. You see? Why? Because I believed God and I took Him at His word and I applied the blood of Jesus in that area. This is how we mature in the Lord. As we look and we see some place where we're still short. You know, I used to have the spirit of pride so heavy, and I remember Pastor Johnson saying, "Well, you're short. Why don't you just admit it? You don't have to stay short. You can grow. Why are you so prideful? You're stopping your own growth."
But you can't grow until you admit it, amen?
Amen. You can't grow while you're... God resists the proud.
Mm-hmm. His grace under the humble, amen.
So
you can't be saved until you think you're going to hell, that you deserve hell.
That's right.
You confess it.
That's right. Look at Colossians 1 and 14. I want to give you these verses about the blood. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were made by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. That's 14 to 17. This is what the blood of Jesus does.
Sorry, brother. Can we get verse 13? Because it has to do with what you're talking about.
Okay. Who hath delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness. Hath. That's one of those perfect tense words. That means He's delivered us and He's continuing to deliver us. Everything He brings to light in front of you, don't let your shame cover it up. Don't let yourself go into shame and go into your closet and try to hide it somewhere from the world. It's better that you get up on the rooftop and shout it and say, "This is who I was, but I'm delivered. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm set free."
Amen.
Then the devil can't use it anymore against you. But if you take it and try to hide it away, the devil is going to continue to have a place. You're giving place to him, and you will not be delivered. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Amen. Look at the book of Hebrews. The 9th chapter says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us."
What was it, Hebrews what, brother?
9 and 12. Ten and 19 and 20. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, His flesh. He gave His body on the cross. He shed His blood for you. For me. That breath of God, it knows how to get back to God. There's something that's in Albert Barnes' book on the atonement that talks about, in medical terms, that the blood that goes away from your heart, if your hand was amputated, given enough time with the proper bandage to heal it, that blood knows how to get back to your heart. It knows how to find that artery to go back to your heart. The same way that your spirit knows how to get back to God. Why? Because it's the breath of God.
Right.
But what's in the way? Our sin, the deception of the devil, all these things are in the way.
The world.
That's how we can preach the truth of the gospel. We have to bring them, we have to remove that what is covering that thing. And then we have to hold that bandage up. You see, that's what a good minister understands. That not only do I have to peel that thing away so the person can see their great need. I have to stop that up, that wound up for a little while and cover it up and minister to them so that they can get through till they become strong enough to do it themselves. It's a process. But it doesn't have to be a long process. Second Peter 1:9 says, "He that lacketh these things is blind and hath forgotten that he was purged from his former sins." See? The process took place in the blood of Jesus. If we can only keep it in our memory. Hebrews 13:12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." It's the blood of Jesus. We talked about the washing of the Word. It was my next point, the washing of the Word. I got a little ahead of myself. I gave you John 15:3, Ephesians 4:26, and even in this chapter, Luke 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." It's the washing of the Word. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, what's the light? This is the light. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 9, it says that it cleanseth. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. It's the washing of the Word that takes place. I often hear Brother John asking the husbands if they have washed their wives with the Word. I think it's an important concept that we have forgotten. This is why we have so many... Our family structure in America has gone so ungodly because the head has forgotten what his purpose is. It's good that men go and do a job and all the things, providing and protecting the family. Those things are good. But if he lost his first love, then they're worthless. If he's not washing his wife and his children in the water of the Word, he's failing. All the other things are useless. So, I want to get back to what I was talking about. If we want to preach the gospel to the poor and to open the blind eyes, why are they blinded? They're blinded by the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world. They're blinded by deception because they love their own sin. And they believe, a lot of people, you hear it, "Oh, Jesus loves me. I know." You know, I hear the drunkard on the street telling me, "I know Jesus loves me. You can't tell me anything." And you read the verse to them that tells a drunkard is not going to inherit the kingdom. And they say, "Well, I don't know how it's going to work, but I know He's going to save me." Well, they're saved, but not according to the knowledge of the Bible. What's that mean? They might hear, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Or they might hear that they knew him and departed from him. Whichever way it is, whatever is the truth. But when we're speaking to someone, trying to bring the good news of the gospel into their life, first we have to bind up that that deception. And for that, we look at Matthew 18th chapter. It's also in the 13th chapter, but I want to just stick with this in the 18th chapter for the sake of time. But you can look again where Peter, he told Peter that he has the keys to the kingdom and that he can bind and loose whatever he binds on earth is bound in heaven and so on. So he repeats that here in the 18th verse. Matthew 18 and 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I hear a lot of people use this verse to, you know, give some reasoning that God's in the middle of their little song service or whatever it is. Oh, we're having church because two or three are here and gathered in His name. But that's not really, if you look at the whole context, necessarily what it is talking about. It's talking about binding and loosing things. And I believe that that's why we're not seeing a lot of deliverance, not seeing a lot of light, because we're not really speaking into this. If we could come into agreement that I want that lost person to be saved, I want to bind up whatever it is that's deceiving them for long enough that I can loosen up that flow of blood, that it can, that spirit can have free reign and start to run back to that heart, which is Jesus, which is God. You see that if I can just get a hold of that and get that deception off their eyes, open their eyes for that moment. If two or three of us would just agree on that, I believe we'll see a lot more fruit in our life. If two or three of us could just get in agreement that I don't really care about the things of the world, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all the things I'm worried about are going to be added to me. I'm not going to worry about those things, but I want my mother that's lost, I want her to be saved. I want to get her eyes open. You know, I want my family members that don't want to talk to me about Jesus anymore. Why wouldn't they want to talk to me about Jesus? Jesus is the best thing in the whole world. What else can wash your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that song. Don't let it just be a sing song. Oh, it's good, fun to sing. That's the key of the whole gospel. The crux of the whole gospel is in the blood. Life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it unto you on the altar to make an atonement for your soul. It means you're drawn near back to God. That was your rightful place to begin with. We strayed from that place. Who doesn't want to be brought back to God? Only someone lost and deceived. Oh, there's wicked people out there too that know these truths and despise God still. That's true. But we have to go out into the world believing that there's still lost people out there. If there wasn't, there'd be no purpose for God to leave us here. God's not cruel. He doesn't just leave us in this wicked world to, you know, just to be cruel. He leaves us here for that purpose. Mm-hmm. If we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, but we're here. In heaven, there's no sorrow, no crying, no dying, no pain, no black eyes, no whatever. But all those things exist here. If I'm here, and God's not cruel, and I know He's not, I must be here to reach out to somebody that's lost. If we could receive these two principles, the washing of the blood, in a twinkling of an eye, in a blink of an eye, you're washed, you're cleansed. It's your flesh that says, oh, it's going to take some time. Man, it's going to take as long as you make it take. If you want to surrender all, instead of just singing the song, okay. Man, you're going to have it all right then. But we have to, these things have to be bound up. And the Holy Spirit is loosed into our life. You know, those things are taken out and replaced by love, joy. You know, if you look in the chapter 5 of Galatians, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, at first it talks about the works of darkness. Take those things out of a person. What do you put in that vacuum? You put love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faith, temperance. Those are pressed into that space. Binding and loosing. We bind up all the things of the darkness. And we loose holiness, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Loose the kingdom of God into somebody's spirit, into somebody's vessel. Now they're empty. I'm an empty vessel before a full fountain. Amen? And for the last part, the last point that I want to make, we talked about the blood, we talked about the washing of the word, we talked about binding and loosing. But the real biggest thing is, look at 2 Peter. Actually, 1 Peter. I misspoke. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise. I went through a situation when I was in New Orleans. I was out with Mama Janice. She's got the scooter she gets around on, and you know, she needs help doing random things. So I'm out there helping her. We aired up the tire on the way out, and I had a bad feeling that tire was not going to last, but we went anyway. Sure enough, we go to the first store, and we come out, and the tire is completely flat. She says, "Well, what can we do?" I said, "Well, you got a spare there. We didn't have a jack, but we had a spare. The jack she has is broken." She runs on faith. This whole thing is run on faith. There's 5 houses that people just give to her. I'm going to look at this, and a flat tire is going to stop us? No. We're going to praise God. What are we going to do? We're going to praise God. I says, "Well, I have angels. Surely, goodness and mercy follow me throughout my life. So I have the Word of God. And I'm going to praise God." So I just kept praising God for surely, goodness and mercy. And I put the tire and loosened the things up. I got it up to everything as done as I could. I got the other tire over there by the tire. I started loosening the lug wrench and nuts up. And I just praising God the whole time. A guy pulls up in a work truck. "Hey, do you need any help?" "Yeah, the jack is broken. I got everything else together." He just walks directly over to his work truck, brings out a jack, puts it underneath the truck. It was flawless, seamless, without any kind of hitch. Wasn't sitting. Now, the old Daniel, before I was washed from the blood, the old Danny, the cab driver, would have threw my wrenches across the street, cussed, fussed, made a big mess. Probably messed up my car even worse because I was angry. That's who I'm saved from. I know who I used to be. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. It's not hard to come up with something to praise God for, even when their trouble comes. But because of that praise, because I brought forth praise, it was flawless. All the while, Mama Janice is sitting in the car, relaxing, drinking the drink she got at the store, and, you know, we're believing God. She's praising with me. we're going to believe God, that, hey, the same God that's done everything before. Oh, Psalm 119 says, I've rejoiced in thy testimonies as much as in all riches. His testimony is better than gold and silver. All the things God has ever done for you. I know some of you young people, you're waiting to have a testimony. Really? Maybe you have a few. They're treasure. Hold on to them. But they're going to get more if you trust God. If you walk in His presence, walk in the light, your written epistles. Those are treasures. Nobody can take them from you. When you're depressed and the spirit of depression is battling you, it's trying to get your mind, trying to take a hold of your vessel, that's when you speak to God and you bind up that spirit. Because it don't have any power if over God. It has power over you if you're not in God. How do you do that? By praise. Look at Joshua, the 6th chapter. So the guy went into the store. By the time he came out, I was done with his jack. He, without a hitch, he went about his day. You see? Christians ain't supposed to just live in their own blessings. You're supposed to be a blessing to somebody else. It encouraged him to come back and see somebody that was in good spirits, and he didn't have to do anything. He was already going to that store. It didn't take 1 minute out of his day. Other than the minute it took him to carry the jack off the truck. You see? He went about doing what he was there to do. God made it so that when he came back, I was done. And we blessed him. I wonder sometimes if Christians have forgotten that we have a power with God. By this atonement, by this blood of Jesus, we have a gift that we can give others. We can bless them. I'm not talking about giving them something financially, or it could be those things, some physical thing, but most of all, spiritually, you can bless someone. If you've been blessed, you can pick up someone's spirit when they're downtrodden. You can elevate their mind above that mess that they're living in. We got to go through this stuff. It's the only way to it. It's through it. All the stuff we've heard. It's true, though. Joshua 6. Here we are in Jericho. And God is giving Joshua his marching orders. Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou shalt do 6 days. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpet. On a side note, they're doing this silent. According to the 10th verse, it says, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then you shall shout. 6 days, 1 million people walking around a wall in dead silence. Silence has power. God said He's a still small voice. Amen? Mm-hmm. We got all this mess, all these spirits trying to contend with our attention span. But on that seventh day, it was praise that brought the wall down. It shall come to pass, verse 5, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. It was praise that brought down the walls of Jericho. He destroyed that great city. That city was known throughout the land as the greatest city because the walls were so thick they ran chariot races inside the middle of those walls. There was one wall here and one wall here, and it's that wide that their chariots could race each other in the hallway between the two walls. Nobody knew how to destroy this great city, but God knew how to do it. Be silent 6 days. Walk around it in circles. On the seventh day, blow the trumpet. Shout hallelujah. Praise. Brought down every part of that wall except one place, Rahab, the harlot, that one that trusted God, that one that decided, I'm not going to trust in these walls that are so famous. You know, a lot of people were scared, but I guarantee you a lot of people thought, oh, they can't do anything to us. We're behind these great walls. But Rahab, she had faith. Remember a while back we talked about Boaz. That was Rahab's grandson or son, whichever way it was. Praise. See, we got to bind up all this mess that's in us. We got to get it out of us. Loose the Holy Spirit so we can praise. We can't praise and be depressed at the same time. You can't do that. Can't praise God and complain at the same time. I believe the promises of God. I believe the Word of God. But I also know that it takes some time for God to answer some of those things. I just recently had a prayer answered that was just completely from God. And without going too much into it, but that's one reason that I'm so glad to be here today to exhort some of you, because I know some of you have asked for some things and you haven't seen them come yet. But God wants to answer you. The hard part is we don't understand the plan of God. You know? It's so hard for us to see all the things that He's working. But if we can just believe that He's working, if we can just receive that great gift, the blood of Jesus, then we can get back to that place, you know? We can get back to the Spirit of God, get back to the throne room of God. I can come boldly. You see, we have such a high priest that cannot be touched with the infirmities of the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted on all points, as we are, but had no sin. For this we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can ask for grace in the time of help, of need. You know? We need help. We need patience. Lord, I believe you, but help my unbelief. Even seeing great things happen. Then I face this, even this morning. God, there's still something I'm not believing you for. Help me with that, Lord. I don't get on my floor till I feel God, till I allow God to lift that unbelief from me, that doubt. I don't want to leave the throne of God till I got that. You know? This world out here will tempt you to go. So long ago I was drawn to the city. Oh, I want to go to the city. I grew up in the country. I don't ever want to be out in the country, you know. I'm going to go to the city. I'm going to go to the city where people are. And blah, 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 you know, you're drawn so distracted with so many things that don't matter. It's really only one thing that matters. That we be at one with God. Then wherever he leads you, you'll have victory. Oh, it won't always look like that. You know, the guy that mashed up my face a few weeks ago, I'm believing for victory for him. I'm believing eventually he's going to say, man, I just beat up a preacher for, it didn't do anything to me. What words were he saying that made me so mad that I would face an assault charge over? I'm believing. I'm praying. I'm asking y'all to touch and agree with that prayer for that spirit of that demonic spirit that's binding him and deceiving him would be lifted up, and that the blood of Jesus can get down into his heart and realize that I'm made in the image of God and I want to live for him. Why wouldn't we want to? Why would we want to go back to the dust? It doesn't make sense. I'm praising God for that day. I want to exhort y'all to, this is our victory, to bring forth praise. We've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. Bring forth praise. You're kings and priests. Wherever you put your foot, that's your land. You need to walk in that authority. So glad that God showed me that, how to walk in authority and stand up in the place that I am and recognize that this is the land that God has given me. So many people yesterday, go home. No, this is my home. Well, it's not my home eternally, but this is my God's land. You're the one trespassing, not me. Sin is unnatural. Spirits of depression and oppression and all these things are unnatural. It's time to get rid of them, to bring deliverance to the captives. You won't have to be captivated any longer. Your eyes can be open to the truth. Set at liberty them that are bruised. Yeah, sometimes God's got to bruise you a little bit. But Psalm 119 says, I walk at liberty because I seek thy precepts. I was afflicted and I went astray as a lost sheep. But now I keep thy commandments. Be encouraged. Walk in holiness. Walk in the light. Believing in the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.